fruitfulness. I'm now going to show you the extent of my horticultural understanding of anything. I have no green fingers apart from when I cut the lawn. That is it. Sorry about that. But as you can see, I've gone down the route and spotlight about talking about fruit today. So if you want the shortened version of my sermon, read that secretly now. Otherwise, tune in. Because I decided, well, if there are over 2,000 fruits in the world, I don't know many of them. Do you know the physalis? Yes. I know the physalis, but only recently. They're known as ground cherries, encased in an unusual papery Latin-like husk, part of the nightshade family, and shows a relationship between tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants. Imported from South America. What about the mangosteen? Oh, right. Fragrant edible flesh of the mangosteen, which is unrelated to the mango, can be described as sweet, tangy, citrusy, and peachy. A critic in the New York Times said he would rather have a mangosteen than a hot fudge sundae. Bring them on. By popular acclaim, the mangosteen is held to be the most delectable of all the tropical fruits and has been proclaimed their queen. There is no doubt about the luxury of its taste. It has won unstinted praise down the ages from all who have encountered it. Well, I haven't. Anyway, that comes from Southeast Asia and can grow to huge sizes, as can the jackfruit, the largest tree-borne fruit in the world. It can grow up to 80 pounds in weight. It's been cultivated in India and Bangladesh, where it is the national fruit, for the last 6,000 years. It tastes like a cross between an apple, a pineapple, a mango, and a banana. And one popular way to prepare this fruit is to deep fry it into crunchy jackfruit chips. Anybody had a jackfruit? Okay, are they good?
Yes. Yeah,
okay, good, all right. So there's a world of fruit out there, and that's where the fruit analogy goes to bed. The question really here is not about fruit, but about fruitfulness. It's not about what's growing in the world, but what's growing in our lives. And it's quite clear that in these passages, particularly in the passages in John, there's an invitation to fruitfulness in the way we live out our lives and we follow Jesus. And of course, fruitfulness is on a bigger scale when we come to realize that Jesus is using all the time horticultural, agricultural analogies and pictures. The harvest fields are ripe and the workers are few. And people at that time would also know that the vine which Jesus talks about is a depiction of the country and the people of Israel as well. But I think when it comes to fruitfulness, this intriguing story in Acts, as Philip encounters the Ethiopian eunuch, is really helpful. This is the way my mind works, so just stay with me. I was thinking, I wonder if the creators of Star Trek, do you remember Star Trek? Yeah? When they went down to the transporter room and they got buzzed down onto the planet's surface. Well, did you notice that at the end of Acts, that's exactly what happens to Philip? He's carried 20 miles from where he is and ends up in Azotus. I have nothing to bear that on. So, you know, I'm not saying that is true, but intriguing. God is behind all the great ideas. And if he wants to move us around and we're open to it, all is well and good. But this passage in Acts is about fruitfulness. It's about the actions of Philip to bring the Ethiopian to faith. It does feel a bit rushed. There's an urgency about it. Go is mentioned twice. Philip runs up to the chariot. He says, "Do you understand?" But as a result of this encounter, the good news of Jesus heads off to Africa. And you're probably well aware that the church in Ethiopia has a very, very significant and long history. If you're really clever, you'll also notice that, and I didn't know this until I suddenly thought, where's verse 37? Verse 37 is missing. Had you spotted that? If you look at your Bible reading, you'll find it gets to verse 37 and there's just a little bit. in a bracket. And that's because in the original manuscripts, there wasn't this verse that may have been added a bit later. So here's verse 37. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So that's that declaration of faith as the Ethiopian comes to be baptized. And there's a fruitfulness in the outcome of this encounter. The Ethiopian is hungry to understand Scripture. I mean, you couldn't set it up better, could you, as a way and means of being encouraged that God's at work. Imagine you meeting somebody in the street, they're reading the Bible going, "I just don't understand what this is about. Can you help me?" Now, that's really God inviting us into an encounter and saying, "All will be well because I've set everything out for you." And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about us sharing our faith and that natural fear we have. God knows that we're fearful. We don't like being rejected. But here, Philip's greatly encouraged. Wow, this person is seeking God. And I just want to help him understand that in Isaiah's passages that he's reading, it's pointing to Jesus. Amazing. The Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem. He was probably a God-fearer. Because of what has happened to his body, he would be thought of being unclean. But he would have seen all the celebrations in the city from a distance. And now he was on his way back to Ethiopia. And we're talking thousands of miles. I mean, it's an extraordinary journey. You know, you get up one morning in Addis Ababa and think, "I'm going to get in my chariot and go up to Jerusalem." It's a long way. But God meets him on his return. He's eager to be baptized. And it is true that even today, because we can get quite disheartened about the health and the size of the church, in the world and in our country, people are searching for answers. People are seeking God. And we are helpful guides along the way. Because the real fruitfulness here is what happens in our lives, being a disciple and a follower of Jesus. And it's displayed in what Philip does in this encounter. He trusts God. I mean, it's a pretty strange scenario. This afternoon in Messy Sunday, we're looking at Jericho and Joshua. Now, if you've been asked by God to walk around and make a lot of noise with trumpets seven times, you're thinking, couldn't you have done it some other way? So despite God's creativity that may be beyond us, he works in strange ways, and he works with strange people, you and me. So there's something here about being in the right place at the right time, being receptive to what God is saying and trusting him. Sharing when asked, when invited into a conversation. You know, if somebody says to you, "Oh, you go to church," we don't just go, "Yes, I do." We say, "Yes, I do. And I go because." No one can deny your personal story. People are very polite in this country generally about faith. So when you share your story, it will not be critiqued very much. But share your story. Be a little bit more like Philip. And Philip's asked a question. "Can you help me understand what I am reading?" And that is where we give answers. We respond when we are invited. One of the difficulties about encounters between people of the Christian faith and those who aren't is when we impose our faith on people. And that should never happen. It never works. But when people are searching and hungry, let us be fruitful and feed them. So action, when needed, when appropriate, is what we're always invited to. Because fruitfulness in our lives is moving from being an observer to being our participant. It's from being passive to active. It's when we move from being in the audience to being on the stage. from distance to relationship. It's when we recognise that we're part of the labour force for God to bring in the harvest. We all have a part to play. Now, Louise and I enjoyed the Silso amateur dramatic performance of The Importance of Ernest on Friday night. There were 8 people on the stage, but I've checked with Simon this morning. There were 20 people behind it. It was a team effort, an ensemble cast. We all have a role to play. Do not rely on Louise and I, because we'll fail you. But together, something very powerful can happen. We can be collaborative. We can be encouraging as well. So let us be open to being fruitful. But, of course, there's a slightly difficult bit just in John's Gospel there. Pruning. Not something that we want to go out of our way to do and to allow to have happen to us. It can look very severe, a pruned vine, but it brings forth greater fruitfulness. Less is more. And very simply, what might God want to prune in our lives? What's getting in the way of us being fruitful as we live out our life? Because the fruits of the Spirit are so glorious. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We all want more of those. And God wants to give us more of those, to give away those to others. So let us be fruitful, let us be encouraged, and let's be excited about what might happen as a result. God is calling us all, like Philip, into a fruitful lifestyle. So let's pray. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To these I commit my day. If I succeed, I will give thanks. If I fail, I will seek his grace. And then, when this day is done, I will place my head on my pillow and rest. Let that prayer, Lord, be for us all. In Jesus' name, amen.